Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we are back. It's Restart Radio Live right here. Blog Radio, AZ Second 2012. I don't even know how to start. Very, very sad news today in the world of football. It sucks for me to have to report a story like this because I can't say that he was a guy that I followed greatly. He was just a guy that I knew very well in the arena of sports, and that, of course, is San Diego Charger, Junior Seau. I had some audio earlier of his grieving mother. I'm actually glad that I deleted it by accident. It's too much to watch. As I was watching this woman cry, I wanted to cry for her. She barely spoke English. She doesn't speak English well. She speaks English. She doesn't speak English very well. You'll hear a little bit of it when I play the news report, because there's something that I want to point out about the way the news is reporting this. But Junior Seau found sometime about 9:35 this morning, that is specific time, by a girlfriend who police say returned home and found him lying in a pool of blood with what police is reporting is a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest. And I don't know. Call me skeptic.
You're a skeptic.
But the police officer said it was a suicide. And immediately, everyone in the sports world is jumping to conclusions because there have been about four deaths in the football world that have been reported suicides. One particular suicide, and I forget the athlete's name at this point, it'll come to me. But he was the latest one who died. In fact, he left a suicide note where he left instructions, the reason why he shot himself in the chest. And his instructions were the reason why he shot himself was because he wanted his brain to be evaluated to prove that it suffered from some sort of, permanent damage from playing football. So now they're immediately equating Junior Seau's death as to, some injuries that he dealt with. But there was an odd thing about the report that no one seems to be paying attention to. Junior Seau never suffered a concussion. Never suffered one concussion. Now, he had injuries to his legs, knees, his arms, sure his chest. Guy was a defensive player. Did a lot of tackling. He had over 15,000 tackles. He played for some 14 years, 12-time consecutive Pro Bowler. His mother said something that she had just spoken to him either a day ago or 2 days ago, but whatever. But he was laughing and joking with her over the phone. She just couldn't see it. woman is screaming, please, please, if anything, take me. Like any mother would. The old saying goes, no mother should ever, ever have to live to see her child die. And I feel for her. So many people were screaming in the crowd while she was giving her press conference and speaking to the press. They were all screaming to her, we love you, we love you, we love you. And she sent out all of these warm words to them, and she said, I love you too, I love you. What makes this woman so modest, she's my new hero, what makes this mother so modest, that this woman, in her grieving, at the end told everyone, please, drive home safe. Please take care. In the best English she could muster, she was still thinking of others. And it was, for me, it was heartbreaking for the watch. And that's why I'm glad I don't have the audio. It's tough. And I'm sure you can find it anywhere you want to online. But if you're anything like me, you get choked up just as much watching it. You just feel someone like this. It was heart-wrenching for me. And I won't lie, because I'll probably get raked over the coals. Yeah, I've made fun of people in their poor English and all that other stuff. I've made fun of people who immigrate in this country who can't speak the language well. So, yes, I've done that. But, you know, even I've got a heart.
Really?
Yeah. Allegedly. Let me play this.
Allegedly. Yeah. I like that.
Let me play the audio. What I want you to do is pay attention to what it is they're saying. He's not been dead 24 hours. No autopsy, no nothing. He's been presumed a suicide. And I think they've got this. I think they're off their mark here.
This case, at this point, is being investigated as a suicide. A handgun was found near the body.
Sayo's mother, understandably distraught.
And I pray God, take me, leave my son alone.
Too early to tell why Sayo may have taken his own life, but an alarming number of retired NFL players have committed suicide. Four others in a little more than a year, including former Chicago Bears safety Dave Duerson. All of them showed signs of head trauma. In fact, Duerson also shot himself in the chest, asking in his suicide note that his brain be studied.
We think, in some instances, that head trauma could be related to depression, and depression at times can be a cause of suicide.
So, yeah, Dave Duerson, that was the name I was trying to remember, Dave Duerson. He was the one who said he wanted his brain to be examined. I don't know, it's just too early to tell for me. Bear with me. I mentioned this to you, Mary. Look, his girl returns at 9:30 in the morning and finds him in a pool of blood. I mean, I know his children range from ages 10 to 20. So maybe she was taking younger children to school in the morning. I couldn't imagine he would want to do this when the kids were home, if it was indeed suicide. But is it too far-fetched for me to say that this sounds like foul play and maybe they're jumping to conclusions?
I can't say that it sounds like foul play, but I wouldn't, if I was them, I would jump to the conclusion that it, you know, to throw it out there, that it seemed like suicide. They should have just said, you know, we found him with a gunshot wound to the chest, and we're going to investigate.
Yeah, I just don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's a cynical part of me that makes me say something just doesn't smell.
It's the cynical part of you.
You think so?
I know so.
Well, I'm usually not wrong, though, Mary. Mary, when things like this come up, I usually hit it on the head.
Well, if you hit it on the head, you hit it on the head. That's fine. All I'm saying is no one really, there should be an investigation prior to making any assumptions of what it was or what happened.
I don't know. I have strong feelings about this. JC, what do you think?
I agree with you.
So you think that there might be something...
There's absolutely something fishy in those waters.
It's just too cut and dry.
Yeah.
As Murtaugh and Riggs would say in Lethal Weapon 1, it's too clean. It's just too squeaky clean.
And maybe it is. I'm not saying that it's not. All I'm saying is that they shouldn't have just said, oh, well, we assume it's a suicide. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's too easy. It's just too easy. Anyway, I don't know. But we'll get to... we'll get to this maybe a day or two later. Maybe somebody will launch an investigation. I say to the police right now, swab the girlfriend. Swab her fingers. Get a flashlight all up in her.
Well, if she found him dead and then phoned the police and the ambulance and they found him laying there with a single gunshot to the chest with a gun sitting next to him, I don't care whether that gun was in his hand or not. They should have swabbed her for gunshot residue immediately.
Yeah, you do that to exhaust all possibilities of foul play.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about Los Angeles PD.
Well, San Diego, but close to the same thing.
No, pretty much same. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right, same deal. However, I don't know. It seemed like they rushed the judge on this one because
they did.
They didn't have enough time was going by for them to even do a residue test on his hands.
Right, exactly.
They should have done a residue test on her hands.
Or her hands.
But you know what I think this is? Now I want to try this off the side.
Kids, wait,
I think
hold on.
2000. Go ahead, Jason.
Let me say this. If I'm not mistaken, it happened while the girl was taking the kids to school.
Well, we don't know where she was. She, according to the report, in fact, the sheriff who gave the statement after his mother tearfully told her story, he comes in and he says that the girlfriend returned home at approximately 9:35 this morning. She reported seeing Junior Seau in a pool of blood, non-responsive, and called the fire department and the police department, and he was pronounced,
It was DOS.
Well, no. What they did was try to revive him, and then they pronounced him dead. Now, if this had been the other way around, and Junior Seau's girlfriend was in the house with a bullet wound in the chest,
they would have
swapped him. That's what I'm saying.
They would
have swapped
him and anybody
suicide
who came within 10 feet of him.
Say again?
Swapped him and anybody who came within 10 feet of
him. Exactly. I mean, I think that this woman got a pass because she's a woman. Junior say, oh, he's too big not to have fought off a woman with a gun.
Well, are we really talking about this? Because now you're insinuating that she could possibly be guilty. I mean, I guess
I'm not saying that.
But
I'm saying
that she did get a pass.
No,
I believe that.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. If this had been the other way around, it wouldn't have been ruled a suicide first. And I think more people would have argued, look, he's had some issues in the past. You remember the last time? It was 2010. He had a domestic violence case. He ran off a cliff. All that would have played a factor.
Well, and I'm sure that there will be an investigation. I'm sure that they will.
Not if they just rule it a suicide right off the bat.
Okay, they shouldn't have ruled it a suicide right off the bat. But I'm sure there'll be an investigation because somebody in his family has got to know something.
somebody in her family knows something. If there was domestic violence issues going on, then someone else in the family is going to suspect foul play, and that person, whichever side they're on, will come and stand up and say, hey, there needs to be an investigation.
Yeah, and this is going to draw more attention to that Deion Sanders case. You know, that's just me. Well, Deion Sanders got a little minor scuffle with his wife, Pilar.
When?
Like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Anyway, 347-308-8701. Who do we got on the line?
Hey, man, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a weird deal. Isn't that the same way Dave Duerson killed himself?
Okay, well, see, I agree with you there, and I think most people agree there, because Duerson shot himself in the chest because he didn't want to do any damage to his brain, and his suicide note said he wanted his brain evaluated. He had no concussions ever in his career.
Well, come on. You're not going to play as many seasons as he played pro and college and high school and junior high and not have a concussion or two along the way. I mean, it's the NFL.
Mike?
You know, and Sayle came from that generation where they just, you know, rub some dirt on it and get back in the game.
Well, he said that. That was the kind of player he was. But he had leg injuries. He had some sternum injuries. But there were no concussions ever reported.
Well, yeah, but reported, I mean, if Troy Aikman had, 14 in his career as a quarterback, how many junior Sayle have playing his position?
Hey, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Trust me, from someone who has worked with a lot of Samoans, you can't hurt them. You can't hurt them cranial wise.
Oh yeah, but your brain's still going to slosh against the inside of your skull, man. I don't care if you're a Samoan or a sumo wrestler or a tiny Filipino. You know, the brain still sloshes around inside your skull. And I have issues with the way the NFL treats players. You know, and I know that. You know, there's a lot of money there, and it's their own decision. But, man, you know, I'm of the belief that they ought to take the helmets off and let them play that way. Get them back to leather.
Do you think that they'll be more cautious?
Exactly. If you don't have your head covered in a battering ram, you're not going to use it as a weapon.
Right. I don't know. So you don't agree that this should at least be looked at before we call it a suicide?
They definitely should have swabbed her, but, you know, I mean, it kind of fits. There's been a lot of NFL players killing themselves and being kind of screwed up lately.
Just because there's been a lot of NFL suicides, has been four in the last year, I think they said, doesn't mean that you can just say, oh, okay, that's what happened. He killed himself, too. As a matter of fact, he did it the same way as the last guy. Dave Duerson.
And if they showed up and, you know, there's a gun in his hand and, you know, I'm sure they swabbed him. You know, swabbing him will be just as good as swabbing her, in my opinion.
That's true, because if he shot himself, the gunshot residue would be on his hand.
Exactly. And if there's a gunshot wound on his chest, you know what I mean? What's the chances that this woman got within 6 inches or whatever and shot him in the chest?
He was sleeping.
How long is your arm? You know, I don't know how long. My arm's about 2 feet long. But if I'm going to shoot myself in the chest, I'm not going to hold it out at my full arm length either. I'm going to put it up against my chest. To be fair,
yeah. So there should be a gunpowder residue ring on the whatever he was wearing.
Yeah, he'd have a burn mark and he'd have pucker and all that. But if I was going to kill myself, I'd shoot myself in the head. But you know, Duerson did it. So I mean, I've heard of people shot themselves multiple times in the chest. People are freaking weird.
Duerson made a clear point of saying, "Look, I'm shooting myself in the chest because I want you to check my brain." Sayle leaves no suicide note.
Not everybody leaves a note. I mean, my old man was a cop, and he came across, you know, more than a few suicides, and people just do it. I mean, I'm not saying that's what he did, but, you know, I'm prone to put a tinfoil hat on from time to time too, but you know, I kind of think the dude tapped himself. It's just weird that you would do it in the chest. But you know, if nobody had ever done it in the chest, I would be more saying, oh well, you know, it's bogus. But you know, I've heard of people doing it before, and I've heard of people shooting themselves, like I said, multiply in the chest, which seems kind of like, you know, bad planning to me.
Well,
yeah, it is bad planning on anybody's part that has to continue.
I don't know, but I'm willing to. I'm placing at least. I'm putting $1 on the girlfriend that she's going to be investigated. And something.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean,
sure.
There should be an investigation. There should be an investigation, and ballistics should be able to prove whether.
It was a suicide or not.
It was a suicide or not,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure Dr. Henry Lee over there.
CSI, get to work.
what were you saying, Mike?
Well, I'm, you know, when they do his autopsy, that'll all be in there if it was a contact wound or not, you know?
Come on,
and,
nobody
yeah.
wants a piece.
You can look at somebody and know what you can look at the wound. They don't. You need an autopsy
yeah.
for that. If you stick a pistol to your chest and blow a bullet through your chest, you've got your burned. Your skin is burnt up and it's
yeah.
all looks all messed up. However, if you're standing from 6 feet away, you just may get a clear shot through.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
yeah,
awesome.
All I want to know. It's who's coming in. Who wants a piece of this action? Come on, bet $1. Come on.
I'll bet $1. I mean, there should be an investigation. I believe that. So you're
well,
saying
speculate.
That you think?
Yeah, I'll bet you $1
that
comes up as a suicide. Absolutely.
Okay, Mike, you're going to bet $1?
I'll bet you $1. Sure thing.
Okay, so you're betting that it is a suicide.
Yeah, I'm betting it's a suicide.
Okay, all right. I'm betting against it. How about you, JC? You want a piece of this?
No.
Okay, Mary?
I don't think it's suicide.
I don't think it's suicide either.
Okay, all right. So it's just you and me, Mike.
Because I'm going to say, if I had to shoot Junior Seau, I think I'd shoot him more than once. He was huge. You know?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I ain't
yeah,
shooting
him once.
Unless it's a 454 Kasul or a 12-gauge. You know,
if it wasn't a suicide, then the girlfriend was probably not the one that did it. Because, I mean, you would have to be a good shot to be able to hit somebody in the chest one time, bam, and they just die.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lucky
and a
shot.
Chick, probably not. Not. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. But
I mean,
female, no.
I
mean,
I've seen girlfriend looks like.
I've seen people get shot, okay? And, yeah, one shot in the chest.
You've seen people get shot? I mean, what do you
I have,
Mike?
What's that?
What's going on in Florida?
I mean, such a gun pro.
Hey, I
refuse.
I
don't know what's up with that.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, please.
But, you know,
the
most people
I know
get
the better off I am.
If most people get shot center mass in the chest, you don't tend to die right away, you know?
Right.
It's not like a brain shot. If you hit somebody in the chest, I've seen army studies that showed some people get their heart shot out of their chest with a rifle and continue moving forward for 60 seconds still shooting.
Wow, that's just way much. All right, let's take a break. When we come back,
scaring me, Mike.
Bobby Brown on the Today Show.
I can't wait.
He gets grilled. It's Reason the Radio. Stick around. No, he's not.
Hey, man.
I bet you.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, I do know.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions. not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. And we're back. 30 minutes after the hour. on this Wednesday, hump day, May the 2nd, 2012.
Oh, Bobby Brown. He's back.
I don't know exactly why he's back. Just do your concert, buddy. You don't need to be out there. But he is. Somehow, Matt Lauer of the Today Show managed to get him out there to talk about Whitney Houston. Now, JC, I don't know if you heard this interview, but if you did, did you care?
I've been waiting for this interview. I've been waiting for it and waiting for it. I think I talked to you about it earlier this week because they were hyping it.
Oh, I know they were hyping it. I was waiting for it for one reason, and we'll get to that audio. But pretty much here's the interview. Here's Bobby Brown talking about when he first learned of Whitney's passing, and who he heard it from is pretty interesting, because you think somebody would have contacted him from the immediate family. They didn't.
I heard the news actually through Ralph Tresvant. He had his phone in his hand and he said he just got a text. And he just pulled me to the side and pulled me outside and said, you know, I just heard this, you know, that Whitney had just passed. And I was like, what? And I immediately got on the phone and I called my daughter. And
did you get through?
Yes, I did. But someone else answered her phone because, you know, she couldn't talk at the time, and told me that Whitney was gone. And I just started crying, and it was just like, you know, you never expect, you know, someone close to you to just, you know, die, you know. It was really hard. I don't know.
So he says it was really hard. I found it strange that he got a text from Ralph Tresvant.
He didn't get a text from Ralph Tresvant.
Ralph Tresvant got the text.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't anybody text Bobby? You didn't find that odd?
That damn sissy.
Well, I don't think that was it.
So probably the first words. Out of her godly mouth.
Wait, don't call Bobby?
Don't call Bobby.
Bobby not have
call
a TV?
Don't you call that? No. Yeah. Praise Lord.
Well, then, of course, Matt Lauer, a skilled interviewer, who, you know, he lays it on thick. He's got to ask the first question, how'd you hear? Next question, it's getting a little closer to the meat. Here's Matt Lauer's second question.
You said you were shocked. I'm wondering if there wasn't a small part of you, Bobby, that didn't say, I'd always feared it would end this way. Based on the troubles she had faced.
No, I wouldn't. I didn't think that way because I know how hard the struggle is to, you know, maintain sobriety. But she was doing wonderful. Everything about her was, you know, going on the upward.
You had actually seen her about a week or so before she died. You were having dinner with your daughter, Bobby
yes.
Christina,
and
Whitney came to the restaurant.
Yes.
Tell me how she appeared at that time. What was her demeanor? What was her emotional state?
She was really, she had this glow about her that was just, you know, incredible, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, she must be doing really well because she looked really well.
She had a glow about her.
She was hot.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Glassy, the sun was shining.
just got out of the limousine with Ray J still there waiting.
You think Ray J was in the limo?
Of course.
That's vicious. Okay. Here's number three. Okay? Here's number three. It's all good. Matt Lauer seems to like Bobby Brown. And it goes here.
According to the coroner's report, Bobby, there was cocaine in her system.
Mm-hmm.
There was white powder found in a variety of places throughout her hotel room. There were some other prescription drugs found, although not in excessive amounts.
Mm-hmm.
But when you heard the word cocaine, that was a likely contributor to her death. How did you respond?
I was hurt. Me being off of narcotics for the last 7 years, I felt that she was, you know, I didn't know she was struggling with it still. But at the same time, you know, it's a hard fight. It's a hard fight to, you know, maintain sobriety that way.
I would imagine that in the hours and days after she passed away, you'd said to yourself on a couple of occasions, what else could I have done? Could I have picked up the phone one time
that,
I didn't?
I still say that today, Matt. Maybe I could have done something different, you know, to ensure that she had a longer life. But you have to want it, you know. Some things just happen. God probably just needed her for the choir, you know, up there in heaven. And that's the biggest voice you have.
So he's kind enough to say, you know, maybe God just needed her up in heaven. But let me say this real quick. I hate it when people say that. I hate it.
I can't even believe that that's Bobby Brown talking. He sounds like he got some sense.
Well, he's calm.
I thought he was going to be all like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I thought he was going to be high. He doesn't sound to be high. He sounds like he's got a brain, and he's using it.
Well, I think it was kind of a...
It was a big step for Bobby Brown.
All right, whatever.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Bobby Brown.
Okay. Well, you expected him to get up and go humping around?
No, but I mean, I just thought his demeanor was going to be totally different. The last time I heard him talk, he was just in a whole other world. And
he
seemed like he was following the questions and he answered them. He wasn't fumbling over his words. He was actually following what he was talking about. So obviously he had to be sober.
Okay, well, he claims to have been sober for 7 years.
Is that what he said?
He said 7 years.
Bobby Brown, you know that's a damn lie.
Look at you.
Behind got put in Mary Washington Hospital in Fredericksburg, Virginia, less than 7 years ago, my man, and you had drugs in your system, and you had been drinking. It was in the paper.
Well, I guess that makes it true. Anyway,
I lived around the corner from the hospital.
Would you go visit him?
No, I didn't go visit him, but I mean, why would they lie about something like
that? It's the paper. It's the news. Let me just move on, because this is the question I wanted him to respond to. I wish he would have lashed out a little more, but I guess he had to answer it. I want to know who Matt Lauer's sources were, but it had to be asked.
After Whitney passed away, Bobby, if I heard it once, I heard it 100 times. And I know you heard it too. Fans, people who say they were close to Whitney,
mm-hmm.
say her life went downhill when she met Bobby Brown.
Mm.
How do you respond to it? And how does it make you feel when you hear it?
It makes me feel terrible, but, you know, I know differently. I think if anyone ever knew us, if anybody ever spent time around us instead of time of looking through the bubble, they would know how we felt about each other. The reality show gave us a wake-up because we was able to see what other people were saying about us. You know, we was able to see that our drug use had affected our relationship, had affected the love that we felt for each other.
But why do you think you got the blame? I was reading some blogs after her death. One said, Bobby Brown killed Whitney. not in the literal way, but in the figurative way. Others said Bobby Brown is responsible for getting her hooked on drugs. Everyone seems to point the finger at you, and they say Whitney was more of an innocent victim in this.
No, that's not true. I didn't get high before I met Whitney.
On narcotics?
On narcotics, no. No, I smoked weed. I drank beer. But no, I wasn't the one that got Whitney on drugs.
So this was a part of her life before,
way before
you and she got together. Did you talk about it? Did you worry about it?
I worried about it when, you know, we first got together, until I tried it. And when I tried it, for some reason I have an addictive personality.
So Bobby Brown comes out and says
that Whitney got him hooked up.
Yeah, and she was on it long before. That just, no, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know why.
Yeah, she's surprise from Newark, you dude. As in you believe what he's saying is true?
Well, what's to change? Oh, okay, a better question. Why couldn't it? Or why wouldn't it be true?
I'm not saying that it couldn't be true, because I don't know Whitney and I don't know Bobby. So only the people that know them know whether that's the truth or not. And they know that. And Whitney ain't here to contest. So it is what it is. But
okay, now Mary Reese.
I find it highly unlikely.
Go ahead, JC.
No. Her story ended more tragically, like most stories and pop culture with people of that fame and status. It was status quo.
You're talking about drug use.
Pardon me?
You're talking about drug use. You're saying drug use was the status quo.
Drug use and death. Drug use and death. I mean, you got to look at who she dealt with prior to dealing with Bobby Brown.
Who she dealt with?
She hung out with notorious cokeheads.
Like cocaine users.
Right. I mean, she dated Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, well, she dated Eddie Murphy.
She hung out with Dionne Warwick, another dope head. She used to hang out with Prince at one point. Yeah. Come on, she's like 60 years old, 10 years ago, still getting caught in airports with drugs.
I was her publicist at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on, she was, and that was long before Bobby Brown. What it is Clive Davis polished her up, because she was a gorgeous girl, gorgeous model. Clive Davis polished her up and gave her this beautiful image with these beautiful songs, and everybody stuck on that.
So if Whitney had been using drugs long before Bobby Brown, now, I mean, let's add this up. They divorced in 2007. They were together for 14 years.
I think it was 2006 or 2007.
Well, 2006 is when they split up. Their official divorce was in 2007. So they were together for 14 years. So that would bring it back to...
1993.
Yeah, wow. I guess, yeah. So that to suggest that Whitney was using drugs as early 89, 90? Okay, that one I find hard to believe.
You find it hard to believe?
When did they...
They got together in, like, 93. I remember that song, We Got Something in Common. That was, like, 94, the song they did.
Right, that was one of your favorites. What was the song? Saving All My Love for You what was the other one?
Her first hit was 89-90.
That couldn't have been 89-90.
It had to have been earlier than that.
Okay, well, yeah, you're probably real wrong. I'm real wrong there. Okay, so you're saying late 80s.
Mid-80s.
To late 80s. Yeah, mid.
I'm going to go with mid.
Okay. So could there be a possibility that she was doing – well, Bodyguard came out in 92?
I believe so.
No, they were together when Bodyguard came out.
That's right. You're absolutely right. It's Bobby Brown almost choked out Kevin Costner.
Well, it came out in 92, but when was it filmed?
No. It came out after Bobby and Whitney were
married.
So it must have been like 94, 90 to 96, somewhere around that area.
What?
Bodyguard.
No, it couldn't have been.
JC, you're going to have to check that one out. My issue is this.
I remember what movie theater I went to and where I was at and who I was with, and I know that 94, 96, I don't think we were together.
You and that person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
She signed to Arista in 83.
Wow. That early?
Yeah, that's when she signed to Arista.
So Saving All My Love for You was when?
She didn't go to work immediately. The label wanted to make sure that no other label had signed her right away. Davis wanted to ensure that he had the right material to produce Houston's debut album. The first single was released in 84.
Wow.
Cosby Showtime.
Okay, so that would make sense if she was really caught up in the Hollywood lifestyle sometime in the late 80s, early 90s.
She was
born in 63.
I saw her in concert when I was 13, 3 years after she came out with her.
Wow. So I don't know. This may be some truth to it. Maybe. Not enough for me. Let's play the last part of this.
Bobby was getting her high.
No, I believe that. We can't say that there isn't a possibility that Whitney Houston was introduced to drugs by somebody else. Bobby Brown was the obvious suspect to be, you know, we know he used drugs. We know he was a bad boy.
But you know what? And he wasn't even a bad boy. Come on. Bad boys don't call girls Roni. They call them bitches and whores.
Even then. Even when he was out. Okay, let's play the last part. Okay, we talked about how he'll always feel about. Actually, this was a little creepy. This is the last part.
You said to me point blank, I am not responsible for Whitney getting hooked on drugs.
Right.
Would it be fair to say that if you didn't harm her in that way, your relationship didn't help her in that way?
Our relationship was great. I had 14 beautiful, beautiful years with that woman.
And that's not revisionist history. It's not a chance of, after the fact, setting the record straight in Bobby Brown's way.
No. I can honestly say that I love that woman with everything that I am. And I believe she loved me the same way.
The night she passed away, Bobby, you continued and did your performance in Mississippi. And all the years that you guys had been together, you got up on stage and you said simply, I love you.
Mm-hmm. I truly, genuinely loved that woman. And I still love her today. Even though I'm getting married sometime soon, my fiance knows how I felt about that woman. My kids know how I felt about Whitney. It's no secret, you know. I was in love with her deeply.
So he says even his fiance knows. He's in love with Whitney deeply.
Oh, he was in love with her.
Well, was, yeah. He did clean it up. So.
And note, she was romantically involved with Randall Cunningham and Eddie Murphy prior to Bobby.
Who's Randall Cunningham?
Former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, he was getting high too, huh?
We don't know.
Oh.
There's never been any reports about him using drugs.
So the only one that she was with that was using was S.
You want to let the Football Wives franchise come out?
Say that again?
We won't know whether she ran in cocaine circles until the Football Wives franchise come out. Whenever.
Mike.
Yeah.
Whose fault do you think it is?
Well, dude, I'll tell you. The only celebrities that I would guarantee didn't do coke were Donnie and Marie. Okay. I mean, if you're famous and rich in the 80s, come on, man.
Those were the years of excess.
It's free. You don't got to pay for it. It's like Robin Williams said, you know, when he was poor, he had to buy drugs. When he was rich and famous, drugs were free. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody does drugs. I mean, Glenn Campbell was a cokehead, for crying out loud.
What'd you say?
Glenn Campbell was a cokehead. Okay, the Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yes, he was.
The Rhinestone Cowboy.
And if he's a cokehead, then yeah, I kind of believe Whitney was probably doing coke before Bobby showed up. But, you know, Bobby's just one of those people, and we've all had those people in our lives, man, that, you know, they take stuff to another level. And, you know, let's face it, man, he found himself a cash cow there, because my prerogative was a long time ago, and coke is expensive.
Everybody wants to bring up my prerogative. They're hating on him.
Dude, what do you have? So my prerogative and humping around? And before that was, what, New Edition? You know, Bobby's
no,
kind of played out.
He had Don't Be Cruel. That was an all right
album. And that was the largest selling album on that label.
Yeah, what was that, Arista?
No, it wasn't Arista. It was. Oh, it's a defunct label now, but I'll dig it up.
I was wondering whether that was Herb. No, it's not Herb Alpert's label.
No, it wasn't A&M.
I can't remember which one it was. But I think you're right there, Mike. It's the 80s.
She was on my death pool for sure.
It was the 80s. It was excess. It was even reported that Michael Jackson was sniffing a little bit of cocaine in the 80s.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Mary?
I said Michael Jackson has been doing a lot for a long time. I mean, he, you know, was one of the greatest, but something was wrong with him.
Yeah. What were you saying, JC?
And we just found tonight that he shared a boyfriend with Liberace.
What?
No.
Yes.
Please don't tell me you read that on the MTO website.
Was this a grown-up
no,
person
I,
you
I
shared
watched,
with Liberace?
I watched this interview on Entertainment Tonight.
Oh.
What is it?
He said he watched something on Entertainment Tonight. Okay, I got to look
Michael
this up.
Jackson?
Yeah.
What about him?
Sharing a boyfriend with Liberace. That's just creepy.
But I can see it because Michael Jackson was creepy. Come on, you can't tell me that he wasn't creepy.
Weird.
He was very weird, and it's crazy how he went into that transition because he was just, you know, a great kid with a great voice. He was African American, and then
what's that got to do with
turned
it?
Into a white woman.
All right, I'm just taking a break, Dave.
that was MCA Records, by the way.
It was MCA. Yeah. I don't know what else to tell you. We'll take a
and
break when we come back.
Ghostbusters 2 was a hit.
Say again?
All I want by Ghostbusters 2, that was a hit.
Yeah, that was a big song. We'll take a break when we get back. More news, more views. It's Reese on the Radio.
Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number two, what makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look?
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats, Mara decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back. And of course, we're playing Hail to the Chief on this hump day, May the 2nd, 2012. Because it was revealed today that Barack Hussein Obama,
likes white women. Yes, he does. He likes the white woman. Yes, he does.
Hey, where are the white women at?
He loves him some white girl.
There's nothing wrong with a little white sugar.
He likes his sugar clean. He don't want no brown sugar. He likes the white woman.
Hey, where are the white women at?
That's right.
So today it was revealed one of Barack Obama's girlfriends.
Now, you're rotten.
Look, listen to me. Let me tell you something. The white women in news, they love this story. They love this story. If you think I'm kidding, watch Diane Sawyer. Well, listen to Diane Sawyer. Talk about it today on World News Tonight. And tell me if she's not, how do I put this delicately, becoming moist.
Oh, my God. And today, Barack Obama, age 22, long before he met Michelle, new letters and diary entries revealed in Vanity Fair from a biography out soon. He had college girlfriends, two women, there's one of them, Genevieve Cook, and Alex McNear. And in a love note to McNear, the future president writes adoringly about life in New York. Quote, moments trip gently along over here. Snow caps the bushes in unexpected ways. Birds shoot and spin like balls of sound. My feet hum over the dry walks. Oh, we were all so romantic when we were young. The book relies on a trove of letters and journal entries that Obama and his friends created during the 1980s.
She's giggling. Is this woman giggling?
She's giddy with joy.
Here's my point. But she says, long before he met Michelle.
She threw that out, didn't she?
I love it. Let's go to the top of the hour.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry has a little lamb. It's sleeping by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Oh, where are they? It turns out Barack Obama dated two white women long before Michelle. Nothing makes me laugh harder. Now, Mary, you had something interesting to say about the photo. JC, have you seen the photo of the white woman? Have you not seen her? JC, please tell me you've seen the white woman. Come in, JC, over. JC, white woman on the prowl, over.
Where the white woman at?
So, have you seen a picture of the white woman?
I was talking, but I thought you popped me in queue. I was looking for the picture of her.
Okay, well, we have a picture in front of us now. Now, Mary, I'll let you give your opinion. JC, have you seen the picture yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, this is what you need to do. Go to Breitbart.com. Not .tv, Breitbart.com. Her picture shows up right in the front. Now, I want you to see the picture, and I'm going to let you respond to the photo of the white woman. Now, being a connoisseur of the white women, as I am, and you being a white woman, please let me know what you think of the white woman in question.
The white woman in question is not very attractive.
You don't think so?
Not the least.
Not at all?
No.
Not in the least?
No. Really? What do you?
I don't know exactly what to say yet.
She doesn't have on any makeup. She's got a DA haircut.
Uh-huh.
she's very white and pasty.
It's a man, baby!
Oh, my God. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be rude. She does sound like
a man, baby!
JP, she's got that Bruce Jenner look about her.
You know why, right?
It's a man, baby!
Hold on. Oh, they cut off the Adam's apple in the picture. Damn it.
It's a man, baby!
You see him start to protrude on the neck?
Where's the other snow bunny? Did we get a picture? This one ain't even a snow bunny. We can't call you a snow bunny. You a train wreck.
I'm not going to lie.
No, that's a trainee.
I know a guy who looks just like her.
I do, too. That wears the same earring.
My former boss, the owner of the
Yellow Kitchen. I know a young boy
Hartford,
that looks
Markle.
Like that.
What did you say, JT?
The owner of the Yellow Cab Company in Hartford, Connecticut, that's what he looks like.
It's a she. just looks like a he.
No, he's saying the owner of the Yellow Cab Company in Hartford, Connecticut, looks just like that.
Like this guy in this picture.
This guy.
He looks like the guy in this picture.
He kind of looks like a rocker.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know what she looks like? Who's the guy? Because I always get them confused. Richard Marx?
I don't know.
Wherever you go, whatever you do?
Yeah,
the guy. Richard Marx.
Yeah, Richard Marx, right? Yeah.
That's cross between Richard Marx and a former lead singer of...
Journey.
Yeah.
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry, yes.
Totally.
I turned to you with broken arms. Oh, that's my song, too. Let me cue that up for after
Don't
the show.
Don't stop believing.
It's a man, baby.
Don't know. I don't know.
Where's the other snow bunny?
I don't know. I haven't seen that picture yet. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you've seen this picture, right?
Yeah, I thought it was Rachel Maddow for a minute.
Say again?
She looks kind of like Rachel Maddow. Hey, dude, honestly.
Richard Maddow.
I'm just surprised he's not fat. You know.
I'm surprised he's not fat.
Yeah, his brother's kind of like the big white woman. You know how it is. Come on, man.
Wow.
Come on.
Hey,
don't leave me out here like I'm an a-hole. You know it's true.
Hold on. One moment. My white woman had a nice shape before my kids wrecked it.
I've seen some
my daughter was
like
born
Block with some monsters.
Listen. My daughter was 9'6".
What did he say? Mike, what did you just say?
I have seen some skinny brothers like Barack around here with some big monster white women. It's scary.
They must be West Indian.
It's also
a West Indian thing.
Hmm?
Oh, okay. Because West Indian guys love big women, period.
Well, you know, I a friend of mine was a brother, and he dated a white woman. I asked him what was up, and she was big. He said, well, dude, she keeps you warm in the winter and shaded in the summer.
Well, you know what they say. And I'll be the first to tell you. Skinny women eat salad. Big women have food.
Yeah, they do, exactly.
You won't starve with a big woman.
Okay.
No.
Now, let me throw this out to you. If you've seen the picture, let me throw this out to you. Okay?
Okay.
Truth be told, it cannot be denied.
Uh-huh.
The woman in this picture looks like his mother.
Well, you know, a lot of dudes do that, man. A lot of guys have that mommy issue, you know.
Yeah, guys do that often.
Often.
Guys do that really, really often.
My mom was a fox. Robin wasn't.
Say that again, JC.
My mom was a fox. Robin wasn't.
Yeah, but it's not unheard of. It's not unheard of.
for a guy to, you know, date a woman who looks like his mother. But then I look at this picture of this woman, and the first thing runs through my mind is, wow, she looks a lot like Stanley Ann. I mean, she looks a lot like her.
I think she looks a lot like a guy.
Hey, maybe she was a guy. You don't know. There's rumors.
There are rumors. Oh, she didn't know about that?
No. Rock was...
Put me on.
Rock was in the booty?
Yeah, JC, I don't know whether or not you can...
First it's bumping booties, now it's bumping snow bunny booties.
Right, no. You never heard this story?
No.
Okay, so this guy claims he came out roughly about 2008. Am I right, guys? About 2008?
Yeah. Yeah, right around the election, yeah.
Right, near the election, 2008. I'm certain it was during the summer. He came forward and put up a YouTube video, and he claimed that he had gotten into a limousine with Barack Obama. He and Barack Obama had sniffed cocaine, or had done crack cocaine, if I'm right. Crack cocaine, and then they performed on each other. And I don't mean they performed on each other like on American Idol.
That's exactly what you mean. Thank you very much. But come on, do you really believe that accusation? I mean,
well,
Barack Obama is a lot of things, and he's not a lot of things. A good president. But a crackhead.
Well, it went so far. Some people took him.
I may even have believed if the guy said, you know, we had sexual relations.
He did say that.
Okay, but smoking crack?
Well, he did admit to sniffing coke.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he openly admitted. Even Rob Johnson, former CEO of BET, called him out on it when he was on the campaign trail to Hillary Clinton.
And he sniffed coke for how long?
I don't know how long, but he sniffed it, and he made it clear. He said, in fact, he even says that when he was at some particular point in his life, he talks about it when he was young, how he was smoking cigarettes, getting high, sniffing coke. So who knows how long it was, but it had to be a period. It couldn't be. It wasn't just a one time. It wasn't like Bill Clinton. I did try once, but I didn't inhale. This guy says I was doing this, so it was habitual.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it had obviously been reported on that he had done it. So I don't know.
And I think we should get him back to sniffing coke, man. At least he would work.
Hey, you know, the only thing I didn't like about him, I'll never forget, well, the one of the things that I didn't like him in the beginning of the campaign before I knew any of his policies, one of the things that bothered me the most, and it always drove me crazy, was the first report that I heard about Barack Obama when they said that he was getting into the White House at 9 o'clock in the morning. And every other president I had ever heard of when I was a kid, I remember how astonished I was when I first heard that Ronald Reagan was in the White House at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, wow. I was like, oh, they start this day that early. And I'm just going, you know, he's up at 5, reading, you know, getting dressed. He's on he's reading the national newspapers. And then finding out that he was that he was in the White House at 6 a.m. And then I heard Barack Obama's in at 9, and I go, 9? Who does that?
Yeah, you got some important stuff to do, man. Get there early.
Yeah.
Not like the country doesn't need some leadership. Jesus.
Exactly. Try to break the stereotype, will ya?
Are you saying the president works on CPT?
Apparently. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, let's take a break. When we get back, I think I have three more stories I need to talk about. There's a George Zimmerman story and a MySpace page. And there's another story I want to get into, but I really want to get all the facts. But you know what? I'll try to do that during the commercial break. We'll take a break when we come back. In fact, this story went down in Florida, Mike, so I want to get your input on this. No, sorry. It's actually in my area, but a lot of people hadn't reported on it. I apologize. It's happened in Virginia. But we'll get everybody's views when we come back. Stick around. It's Reset on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 20 minutes after the hour on this hump day, May the 2nd, 2012. Now, we haven't talked about the George Zimmerman story for a while, so it's about time that we do, because somebody dragged the story out of 2005, way out of 2005. Couldn't find anything new to talk about, so they dragged the story out of 2005. Here's the story as it was reported in the good old Miami Herald. Headline reads, George Zimmerman's crude MySpace page from 2005 uncovered. Crude MySpace page. Everybody in the world is on Facebook. But they decided to go back to a 2005 MySpace page. Story reads, while it includes photos of an ethnically diverse group of friends, the murder defendant's 2005 web presence includes disparaging remarks about Mexicans. But once the defense attorney realized how much money Zimmerman had... That's what the headline reads. I need to get back to the previous page. Excuse me. Let me just let this load. I thought I had that already. I forgot. I'm on the second part of the story already. Okay, the breakdown of the story says, just as George Zimmerman's attorney pushes the envelope of accepted legal practices by launching a social media operation for his client, another site has popped up that belonged to the controversial former neighborhood watchman. That's according to this story. So according to the MySpace page, George Zimmerman is making some comments about Mexicans. I don't know exactly what about. The 7-year-old MySpace page is called Only to Be King Again. That makes disparaging comments about Mexicans. The web page, which his attorney confirmed on Tuesday, is legitimate. Makes a reference to a 2005 criminal case, or cases, a brush in court with a woman who Zimmerman calls his ex-hoe. There are several photos of Zimmerman on the page, and in one of them, he appears to be wearing the same orange polo shirt that he donned in his 2005 police mugshot and used the name Joe G on the site and posted a biography that mentions he grew up in Manassas, Virginia. He had recently opened up an insurance business at the time and missed all of his friends out in Manassas. Last month, a Zimmerman MySpace page using the name That Niggy TV, which I hear TV stands for tugboat, was taken down. The Joe G page includes a missive written in street slang. I'm going to try to get my street slang on for you now. Okay. I don't miss driving around scared to hit Mexicans walking on the side of the street. Soft-ass wannabe thugs messing with people's cars when they ain't around. What are you proving? That you can get a car when no one's watching? Don't make you a man in my book. I'm really, really having a hard time doing this. Another client suggested his friends went to jail and did not rat him out. They do a year and don't ever open their blank mouth to get my ass pinched. I guess that's what he says. Anyway, the pictures posted on the page, including several with ethnically diverse group of friends. The blog section boasts about having two felonies knocked down to misdemeanors, describes a court battle with an ex-girlfriend. Zimmerman faced two felonies in 2005 for obstructing justice and a battery on law enforcement officer, but the cases were reduced to misdemeanors and simple batteries. He was left with no criminal conviction on his record, of course, to imply that's how he got a gun. I'm trying to figure out whether or not this is at least relevant, because I don't find it to be relevant. But, hey, if we're going to bring up the past, bring up the past. But there's something that I want to give you in subtext here to this whole story. George Zimmerman is part white and part Peruvian and has a lot of ethnically diverse friends, but they claim he doesn't like Mexicans. I'm going in another direction here. Wouldn't this sort of bring a little light to my claim a couple of weeks ago that Supreme Justice Sonia Sotomayor is going to vote to to uphold the Arizona law? Because I told you, Puerto Ricans don't like Mexicans. I told you. If there's any group in the Latino group that they don't like, it's Mexicans. Now, Puerto Ricans, it's known, they don't like Dominicans. But they don't like Mexicans more. Now, I don't know exactly why. I've never really figured it out. But I know that these people... What's that?
I think it's the other way around.
What, you think Mexicans don't like other people?
Don't like Puerto Ricans, yeah.
They probably don't like Puerto Ricans, but I'm telling you that the first Mexicans could not have disliked Puerto Ricans first. It doesn't make any sense.
Every Mexican I've ever spoken to, has always referred to Puerto Ricans as lazy Mexicans.
What? Who refers to Puerto Ricans as lazy Mexicans? Mexicans?
Yes.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No, they don't.
It's not.
There's no truth to that. There's absolutely no truth to that.
I heard it myself.
Yeah, that's probably some subtext of the Latino culture. See, I believe that there is sort of like what they call the totem pole of Latino culture. Now, I don't make this list, ladies and gentlemen, so don't start screaming at me, okay? Just like in the black culture, okay? We have what's called, you know, the hierarchy of Negroism, okay? Light-skinned Negroes get first dibs because they're closer to white. And then it goes down to dark, and then black, and it's black. Then we stop. Now, the offshoots of Negroes, okay, then, okay, if you're West Indian, okay, so Jamaicans, they're right underneath. And if you're from one of the other islands, you know, Barbados or any of that stuff, you're all right too. You know, but you go lower. But it's West Indian, but Jamaicans are on the top of the West Indian list. I don't know if it's a marijuana thing or it's a dread thing, but I know it's something illegal. And then as you go further down, now, the last on that Negro list are the Haitians. Africans come right above them. I didn't make the rules, folks. That's the way it is. Now, in the Latino culture, the top list are you're from Spain, because that's what they call Spanish. That's Spain. So Portugal is in there somewhere, and you don't know. Okay, then you come down to sort of like, you know, South America, you know? Chile, Argentinian, Colombia's on the bottom of that list. Brazilians, they're all right. They're somewhere in the, you know, in that fold. All right. So it's Spain, Portugal, then you got South America. Then you work to the islands. Now Cubans, I'm not sure exactly where it is that they go because they're a communist country, so they can't really be on anybody's list. But then, after you get past South America, you kind of go into Central America. But you stop somewhere near Guatemala and Nicaragua, because they're on the bottom of the list, everybody's list, because they're too close to Mexico. Then you got the Puerto Ricans. Then you got the Dominicans. Perhaps a Panamanian here or there. But because they're dark, they're definitely lower. Then you go into Ecuadorians and Guatemalans, and then you go right into the bottom, and that's Mexico. Always at the bottom. There is no group that they put, and we're talking about the social status here. We're not talking about prejudices. The social status. Name one Latino group that gets mistreated more than the Mexicans. JC? Name one.
Wow.
You can't name one. And as I said on the blacklist, name a group that gets mistreated more than the Haitians.
Hmm. I kind of thought this one out, huh?
In the white group, it's Polish.
You're right.
I don't know why.
I agree.
That's why all the jokes are written about them. That's just me.
Who's at the top of the white group?
Oh, the top of the white group? White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant.
White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant.
Hold on. Now, listen, if you're going to tell a Polish joke, you have to remember, be extremely sensitive. How horrible is it?
You said the Polish are on the bottom.
They're always on the bottom. It's not my fault.
I guess when they lost the recipe to ice cubes.
It'll happen. This is the reason why those jokes are there. There's no other group, as far as, you know, the white group goes. Now, I'm going to go to Mike, our resident white guy. We got to go to the resident white guy. There's a reason why. Because, you know, me, I may behave white-like. But we need a real white man.
Think?
We need a real white man who will concur with the white man on the show, and that's me. Now, let's go to Mike. Mike, I'm sure you agree with me. Am I off base?
You're not
going to
find Mike
all?
On that line.
What's that?
You're not going to find Mike on that line, I don't think.
Did he already hang up?
I think he did.
Oh, we lost him. Well, Mike, if you can, call back. Because I want to get it from a real white guy. He knows where it is that I'm coming from. He knows I'm not saying this out of malice. It's just it's the natural order of things. That's all it is.
Doesn't make it right, but it's the natural order.
It's the natural order of things. This is just the way it goes. It's not my fault. I don't work it out that way. It's just the way that it is. Many people understand where I'm coming from.
One side note, if I can.
Say again?
One side note, if I can. You got to work in controls because I've lost my buttons.
I lost mine, too. That's why I'm trying to get back on.
We're in trouble. Oh, there we go.
That's okay. I'm back.
Okay. I got my buttons again.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm good. Now I got to fix this reverb, which I'm going to do right now. Okay, there we go. So, everybody knows what the totem pole does and how it works. And the totem pole is simple as plain. Simple and plain. Is that?
So at the bottom of every list is Native Americans?
So, the Native Americans, that's different. They have their own order. Okay? Their order works a little like this. Okay? Cherokee, Sioux, and then whatever else comes after that.
And they all want to be Mohegan Sun or Nantucket Pequot.
Yes. Let's go to Derek the Bounty Hunter. Derek.
Hey, you know I'm going to jump all over you for the way you diss Panamanians, right? I mean, you know, first of all, when you sit over here and you classify Panama and Puerto Rico, please understand Puerto Rico's America, first of all. All right, and then in Panama, we don't use pesos, dog. We use American greenbacks. So how the hell are you going to put somebody above, put Guatemala and all these other damn other countries above Panama, dude?
No. You missed something.
Explain that.
Yes, they
have Popeye's chicken in Panama. Yes, they have Quiznos in Panama. Okay?
Derek,
come on,
you're
now.
You're missing something. Derek.
Dude, you're missing something, bro.
No, listen to me. This isn't a disparage of Panamanians.
You got to compare country for country, dog. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. You don't go to Panama and go on the beach and they're trying to sell you T-shirts and timeshares, okay? You go to the beach and you lay down and you chill, bro. All All right?
All right.
Go to Dominican Republic and tell me the same thing. Okay?
Okay. Can you give me a second? Can you let me respond?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I said it works. Central America. Okay, I said Spain, Portugal, in Europe. Works out to South America, Chile, Argentinian. Okay? All right. Then works over. All right, Colombia's on the bottom of that list.
You're gonna put Paraguay over Colombia? Come on, dude. What kind of list are you working here?
Wait. Of course I'm gonna put Paraguay over Colombia.
They don't even have they're a totally landlocked country, dude. They don't have a water port, and you're putting Colombia behind them? Come on, dude. What kind of call are you making here?
Let me tell you why. Right.
What are you talking about is how they're treated.
You make your list here, man.
Wait, don't get offended. Let me finish my point. Let me put them on hold for a second. First of all, you put Paraguay over Colombia because Colombia is what? What's their biggest export, Derek? What is their biggest export?
I've seen Wanda does, you know, say buenos dias, you know, they're talking about coffee, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about legal, you know, export here. Okay, we're Chiquita bananas, you know.
You're too funny. My point was that Panama is definitely they're higher than Mexico and they're higher than Guatemala, Nicaragua.
Because you use U.S. dollars, dude.
Okay, since we have a canal, we'll move them up.
We don't use pesos. I'm sorry. We don't. Let me change that. We have not used pesos for 103 years. Okay? Does that make it any better?
Slightly.
Derek, are you a Panamanian?
Yeah.
you didn't figure that one out? But
come on, dude. We're a modern country, bro.
Okay,
we're modern.
Hold on, Derek. Let's get to the central part of my whole point.
Yeah.
Is there any group that's treated worse than the Mexicans?
And it's messed up because to me it's stereotypical because you know Mexico's right next to America. You know, it's like when you know.
But that's not answering my question.
I evaluate countries by what your toilet looks like, okay? And in Mexico, at least they use toilets.
No, you didn't answer my question.
You got the countries like Peru and things like that, and they got like foot grooves and like a hole in the floor.
Okay.
You know, that's why I feel bad about that Peruvian guy that killed that girl in what island country did he kill that girl in? The rich guy. What's his name?
I don't remember.
The Bermudian,
I'm on the phone. It's that country. Oh God, you know the island country that everybody's going to.
Aruba. Where they blonde's at for spring break.
Aruba.
Is it Aruba? Yeah. Okay, man.
You
I remember the
Gender Sloop.
Yeah. Jesus, do you know, man, dude? When you go to jail in Peru, he doesn't have a toilet anymore, dude. It's a hole in the floor and some foot grooves, man.
Yeah, I know.
Dude,
that's what
deep,
their prison
man.
Should look like.
Dude,
answer my question: is there any other Latino group treated worse than Mexicans?
I mean, you know, by Americans, yeah. You know, Mexico, it's. You know, Mexico's a little weird, man, you know, because...
And they're the hardest workers, too.
But why are you avoiding the yes or no question? Is there any other group?
You know, one thing that bothered me, you know, you treated Cubans better than Mexicans, man. They're communists, bro.
Yeah, I said they're in a whole different category because they're communists.
Yeah, those people are weird, man. I mean, seriously, man. I mean, you know, even when the Cubans are up here, they're like communists, too. It's like, you know, if you're not Cuban in Miami, man, you can't get a job. I mean, they don't show Puerto Ricans respect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you got to be, you know,
So you're
Cuban.
Saying or agreeing with me that there's no other group in the Latino community
that's treated worse than Mexicans.
Well, you know, it's just they've been stereotyped so bad. I mean, you know, we sit
so
over here.
So the answer
and say,
is yes.
No. Well, my thing is this. You know, we sit over here and say ha 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 Mexicans, but then you sit over here and say Eva Longoria is banging. You know
She's
what I'm saying?
Mexican,
and, yeah, she is. And Salma Hayek is banging. Okay.
Salia.
And your girl from the Fantastic Four is Mexican too, and they hide that fact too. What's her name?
Jessica Alba.
Yes. Okay, so like I said, man, you know, they get stereotyped, but they got some.
Yeah, but you're naming three Mexican girls.
That are banging.
Oh, Talia, right. Don't forget her.
Oh, Talia, she's hot.
Come on now.
Very hot.
Come on now.
Well, you're still not answering the question.
So,
is there any other group?
You're not going to get an answer.
Apparently not.
All right.
Well, I mean, they do get treated the worst.
Yeah.
They do get treated the worst, but like I said, they're the hardest.
Yeah, they do. You got to go, D?
No. Just somebody talking to me. You know.
Okay. So, now, in the black community, anybody worse than Haitians?
Ouch.
Anybody treated worse than Haitians?
And you know, those are some hardworking people too. You know, I mean, dude, they come from a country. No, seriously though, they come from a country where the minimum wage is like 28 cents an hour, dude. And you know, you sit up
there. Hold on,
Reese. You know, you sitting over here. We sitting over here dishing Haitians. They freed themselves from the white man in 1803. Let me change
and,
that. They freed themselves from Napoleon, dude.
And
what? They didn't have no Abraham Lincoln, dude. You know what I'm saying? Who freed your ancestors? They freed themselves, dog. And they've been punished for doing that. Trust me. The white world punished them for freeing themselves. You know Napoleon sold the entire Midwest to America for $50 million? They can make the Haitians pay $150 million.
Hold on, Derek. I understand you want to be passionate about Haitians. But aren't the only people screwing them their government?
Come on
aren't
now,
the
man.
Only
it's
people
screwing it's done purposely. America screws them a lot too, man. Look in your history.
Oh,
book.
Give
America
me a break,
them
Derek.
A lot too, dog.
George
America
Clooney.
Screws them
wait,
a lot.
Let me finish. Hold on. Let me finish. I want you to hear this. When the earthquake happened in January of 2010, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
When that happened, George Clooney raised $66 million for that country, right? The United States dedicated $100 million to that country. What happened to that money? When it got to Haiti, the Haitian government made anybody who made a charitable donation pay a tax to give them money. That's what their government did. Hey, here's free $66 million donated all over the world. And they made us pay a tax to give it to them. Are you sitting up here telling me that it's the white world that is hurting Haiti?
Dude, what happened to, who's the last Aristide? How did he get kicked out of his presidency, bro? The U.S. government kicked him out, dude.
So what? Derek, what is that government doing for its people now? There's a million three.
The American government kicked out Aristide, not the Haitian people.
There's a million three still living in tents over a year later. A million three. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it is, but, you know, still, like I said,
$66 million raised by George Clooney? Tax-free?
Dude, America's not totally guilt-free, bro. That's all I'm saying. And what's going on in Haiti, America's not totally guilt-free.
Are you telling me that $66 million in the land of Haiti could not get a million people out of a tent?
Dude, like I said, you don't get me wrong. The government stays corrupt there. I mean, they've got rotating governments. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, they've had to have at least 12 to 15 governments in our lifetime, and that's probably an easy number. Okay.
Derek, I could give that $66 million to the Occupy Wall Street lunatics,
and they'd never ever come out and protest again. And you're going to tell me that you couldn't give $66 million to Haiti? Haiti? You could buy a car for $7.
Dude,
come on,
like,
man.
A lot of people screw that place, bro.
Oh, it's called the government.
Well,
it's
like I said,
man,
come on, dude. They rotate
that government.
You're
talking about the
like
white man screwed
them.
It's people
like,
who look
like
them.
But like I said, America has had their hands in that nonsense too, bro. Like I said, Aristide, and I didn't even have to go far.
Dude, you're talking about
you go into your history book. You see, America done screwed that country 3 or 4 times.
You know what? That's
like
probably
said,
true.
Like America's not totally,
but when they
not
needed
totally
us,
free also.
Remember, when they needed us, we got there. 9 days. 9 days after the earthquake. We had a charity in 2 days. $66 million we were able to put together. We had Christian groups go out there to go help those people. In fact, some Christian groups got arrested for going into the Dominican Republic trying to save orphan kids.
Yeah, take their kids.
And that was a debacle. But the bottom line was,
look, I'm not sitting over here saying, dude, come on, man. I'm not sitting over here saying, like, dude, what goes on in this country is a tragedy. Like,
go listen to me. Go watch Soledad O'Brien from CNN. Watch her special report in Haiti when she's there looking at the tents with all the food aid that came in, and she talks to the officials there, and she finds out how the American government was being taxed to help them. It was ridiculous. And they weren't even moving the food out there. They were killing their own people. They were waiting for their own people to die, and they were keeping every bit of aid that we were sending to them. And this has gone on from every other country you could think of.
And not
in
everybody.
Africa,
not everybody.
It may not be everybody, Derek. It may not be everybody. But you have to look at it this way, okay? If we can send that kind of money over to Haiti, and in a year and a couple of months later, there's still a million. That's how much it was after the earthquake, and it's still the same number. That means nothing's being done by people who look like them, who govern them. So you can't blame the white man. Very easy for you to do. But the policies of that country are screwed.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about
that. They've got to do something about it. Let's take a break before we can get out of here. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around. We'll be back.
Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb thoughts,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America
that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb squats,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC. This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. Just 9 minutes till the top of the hour on this Monday. What were you saying?
I said baby.
Anyways, Hump Day, May 2nd, 2012. I'm glad I finally got Derek the Bounty Hunter here, because I'm going to give him about 6-7 minutes to filibuster. Now, I hope he's listening. I want you listening, Derek. I'm playing Biggie Smalls in the background for you. He's going to be rapping after you hear this. Now, Derek asked 2 days ago if there was any proof that, well, how do I put this? Was there any proof that the KKK was established by the Democratic Party? And unfortunately, I had this long, ridiculous argument with James yesterday. So I did a bit of searching. I was going to play it for you, Derek, yesterday, but you didn't call in, but you're here now. Now, I want to make sure that you're on the line. You don't have any distractions. Derek, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so I'm going to cut off your mic. No distractions. I want you to listen closely, just to give you a little breakdown. This is a gentleman by the name of David Barton. He is a part of the American Heritage Foundation. He is going to break down the roots of the Republican Party and its African-American members that began on the 4th of July in 1867 in Texas. Okay? Pay very close attention. Here's the audio.
The Republican Party in Texas was started on the 4th of July, 1867 in Houston, Texas by 150 blacks and 20 whites. It was that way across the South. Republican parties were started in the South by African Americans. In the state of Texas, two of our first three statewide Republican chairmen were African American. The first 42 black legislators elected in Texas were all Republican. The first 112 black legislators elected in Mississippi were all Republican. The first 190 black legislators elected in South Carolina were all Republican. The first 41 in Georgia, the first 127 in Louisiana. So now you've got all these African Americans really stepping up and starting to gain political standing, political power. Now, you have Democrats on the other side who have been very racist. It's in their platforms. They support the Dred Scott decision. They think the fugitive slave law is great. They started a nation to keep slavery alive. Very racist. And so now they're facing a situation where that these blacks are now their rulers. are now in office, are now U.S. senators, are now U.S. How do you stop that? 1866, Democrats themselves started the Ku Klux Klan. Its purpose was not to kill blacks. Its purpose was to take control and return Democrats to power. Their stated purpose in the KKK was to stop Republicans and restore Democratic control. Now, if you're looking for a Republican that you want to take care of, you can wipe out any black you want because they're 100% Republicans at that point in time. You can't wipe out any white. I mean, some whites might be Democrats. You got to be a little more judicious when you're wiping out whites. So what happens is the Ku Klux Klan starts attacking, not blacks, Republican conventions. For example, in New Orleans, in the Republican convention in Louisiana, the Klan joined with the New Orleans police, joined with the New Orleans mayor, Democrats. They attacked physically at the convention in New Orleans, Republican convention. They killed 40 blacks, killed 20 whites. They wounded 150 others. 1868, they put out a push card in South Carolina, and it listed what they called the radical members of the South Carolina legislature. That push card's about the size of a baseball card. It was put out by the Klan. Klan put it out. It had the pictures of 63 legislators that needed to be wiped out in South Carolina. 50 of those legislators were black, 13 were white. Now, they were all 63 Republican. On the back of the card, it gave you the name of each legislator so you'd know who you're trying to kill. Congress starts these hearings in this group called the Klan. And they have hearings, and so they bring in Democrat leaders that under oath from these Democrat states said, yes, the Klan belongs to our party. It's actually in Congress. 1872, the hearings, it's a 13-volume set of hearings in Congress. Unequivocally, Democrats say the Klan is ours and belongs to us. It's there to restore Democrat control in the southern states. Those guys who lived through it made it very clear. For example, one of the early black congressmen was John Roy Lynch. Another early black congressman was Richard Kane. And they're having to fight the Klan physically for their own safety. They go armed to Congress because of the Klan attacks. These guys said, if we as blacks would simply stop voting the Republican ticket, if we would agree to vote the straight Democrat ticket, all the violence against us would be stopped.
So, you heard them. Republicans, blacks, decide, in order to save their lives, we're just going to stop voting Republican. Derek.
Yo, hello.
I'm
hearing your thing talking about 1866 and 1872. I'm talking about 1966 and 1972, dog. I'm serious, man. You got to sit over here. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand back then it was like Lincoln's Party, man. Dude, it is not. It hasn't been that since the 60s.
But
since
you didn't answer my question.
Since Lyndon Johnson implemented civil rights laws, man, everything changed, dude.
Derek. I only played a portion of the movie. The other part of the movie, okay, the only people who filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 1964 were Democrats.
Go.
Republicans passed the legislation overwhelmingly.
But my whole argument is this. I was
no. Your
to find,
argument was.
You know,
wait. Let's get this right.
I want to know. I want you to tell me. Find me some Ku Klux Klan members who are in the Democratic Party right now, 2012, man. Don't sit over here and tell
you,
me. Play me some 1872, man.
No. First
I want to know
all,
about 1972, man.
There are no Klansmen in political office today. The last one died.
David Duke is a Republican, man.
No, he's not.
David Duke was a Republican.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, so I proved my point. The Democratic Party invented the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Yeah, but the party
that's
got
all
hijacked,
I wanted to hear.
Man. That party got hijacked, man.
Oh, stop it.
That party got hijacked, dude.
Yeah. Even when they get the proof.
Like Bill Maher says, not every Republican is a racist. But if you're a racist, more than likely you're a Republican.
Oh, come on. That's just ridiculous. That's our show for today, folks. You can't sway them, even with the evidence. It doesn't matter. The facts mean nothing to them. That's liberalism at its best. No matter what you do, the sky is not blue. It doesn't matter. If you tell a liberal that the sky is blue, he will flat out tell you.
Well, it's not all blue.
It's Reese on the Radio.
We'll see you tomorrow.